Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of the Engineering Side of Data. Got a great topic to discuss today. We're going to be talking about data lakes, data lake houses, and then data warehouses as well. So I've kind of touched on each one of these separately to varying degrees. I'm really excited to kind of have a complete conversation about all three of these solutions, or maybe a platform is a better way to describe it. I'm joined by Eric Tulati. Eric, please introduce yourself.
I'm Eric. I have been working with data for over 10 years now, I think. My background was in science, and then I got into the data side of things. Database administrator to BI to data engineering to data architecture, sort of all across the board. I'm currently a data engineer at Microsoft on their mixed reality platform. And then on the side, I do a YouTube channel called Null Queries, where I just kind of go over, it's kind of gone all over the place. I'm still trying to find the footing on it, but I go over all sorts of data topics from databases to BI, a lot of data engineering, some career advice, some explainer videos. Still kind of trying to figure out how YouTube works, but just having fun while I do it. So,
yeah, great channel, by the way. I think I've been a longtime subscriber, probably since one of the first three videos. So I've enjoyed them, and I do like the variety. You know, as you say, you're trying to kind of figure out your footing and where you want to take the channel, but I do like the variety of content you have, and also the high quality of the content as well. So very well done. Yeah, folks, check out his channel. Of course, links to the channel and some of the relevant videos to this conversation will be in the show notes. So check that out. And very interesting background about coming from science. I think I see that a lot, particularly with data, right? That seems to be a natural path. Most of the time, those people that, you know, in the science background tend to maybe more on the data science side, the data engineering. But I think you kind of have a background in both. So that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I've bounced between them. I think my official title is data scientist, but that'll probably switch to back to engineer. It goes back and forth. But I do a lot more of the engineering work while my teammates focus on the data science side. So,
Nice. All right. Yeah, let's get into the topic here. So like as I mentioned in the intro, that we're going to be talking about data lake houses, data lakes, and data warehouses. Wow, quite the topic indeed. Why don't we start off with some brief definitions of all three of these? So if you wouldn't mind walking us through each one of these platforms, just a little briefly.
Data warehouses was the original, right? Been around for decades. It was, hey, we've got all these transactional data systems. We want to do something with this data. We need to store it. Relational databases were pretty much the way to go. Remodel the data. You get into Kimball, Inman data modeling theory. You know, how do we optimize things for reporting instead of transactions? And then the whole history of data warehousing is a whole probably topic on its own. But the end result is well-modeled, well-defined data ready for users to consume, usually for reporting outputs. But really, that's what most of the literature will say. But in my career, it's sometimes we build things in a data warehouse and then other transactional systems come back to get it because they want the clean data. So it's really a lot of different uses.
That older topic of maybe operational BI, maybe is known as way back when, now maybe reverse ETL is what's commonly known as that process.
Reverse ETL is the new buzzword, I think. So, storage got cheap, especially with all the cloud platforms, and data lakes became the new thing. So it's like, well, we could just store all of this data. We're generating all this massive amounts of data, all the metadata. We have the ability to store it. Let's just throw it all into essentially an online file share is what the original data lakes were. And now we have all this data available to do what we want with it. And this was sort of when data science was picking up and you had all these data scientists who were like, yes, just give me the data, give me the files, give me all that, the raw data to just crunch the numbers and see what we come out with. But The early days, I think the data swamp kind of became the term for it, where people just threw all the files in. There was no modeling. There was no metadata structure around it. And it was just an unusable mess after a year or so of people just dumping all of their data into one location. But it was still good because data lakes are still super useful if you have a ton of data and you don't know what you need it for yet. Data Lake House is kind of the new thing. I think Databricks sort of started it because they sort of came up with the ultimate platform for a data lake. And then they put actual metadata around it. So it became ACID compliant and it functioned more like a database, which I think they call their Delta Lake. And so that sort of kicked off this sort of fight for this lake house where it's all inclusive. You have a data lake, you have a data warehouse, you have some unstructured file storage, you have some structured reporting thing, and it's supposed to be like a one-stop shop for all of your reporting, your data science, your data exploration, your machine learning. All of your needs can be housed in one single data platform, which they're calling kind of a lake house. And it's interesting because Databricks sort of went one direction where they started with a really good data lake platform and then has sort of built on the data warehouse piece. But then, you know, the top competitor Snowflake went the other way direction. They were a data warehouse and now they're trying to build out more of the data lake side of things. So I think now that the marketing has taken over and they fight back and forth, I think it'll be interesting to see sort of who comes out on top on which lake house method is the right one, or the, I guess, whoever wins.
Yeah. The race to the middle, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But really, yeah. They're all just sort of trying to do the same thing. And then you have the other competitors. Microsoft has Synapse, AWS has their suite of things, Redshift plus Athena, things like that. And BigQuery has really been doing this since the start. They were kind of the original ones to do it, and they just sort of fly under the radar.
That's true.
I haven't done a lot with Google platform. So it's something I'd like to do more of to kind of compare, but I always felt like BigQuery was sort of the lake house before it was a thing.
Yeah. I think there's some truth to that too. Yeah, I think we'll blame Google marketing team for potentially the lack of awareness on that one.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. What about, let's talk about some of the use cases. You've kind of touched on that a little bit.
Yep.
With each one of these, but if you wouldn't mind, maybe talk about some use cases for each one of these platforms.
I think the best way I describe it to people is the data warehouse is for descriptive analytics, your reporting. Your data lake is for your data science and your data exploration. Obviously, it gets a lot more complex than that. And users, like I work with a data scientist who would much rather work off of the data warehouse because we have optimized it for the data he wants. And it's just easier than going back and finding things. The data lake can take a lot more, a little bit more effort to find what you need. And it is usually storing raw data. So depending on your systems of information, it could take some effort to clean up.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, I mean, I guess the lake house, the use case is supposed to be for everything, but that could also come into issues of like, if you want to have a full platform that does everything, you're going to be spending a lot more effort building that, right? You're going to need a bigger engineering team. You're going to need more time. You're going to take longer. You got to do all your requirements. It's more effort. So if you're running a small startup shop and you only need, you know, I worked at one smaller startup that only was really cared about descriptive stuff. They kind of weren't too interested in predictive yet. They really just needed to know what was going on in their business, as a lot of startups are kind of just people go out and do their own thing. And so there was no really need for a data lake, or let alone a lake house. They just wanted a data warehouse with some very focused, really key metrics that they could then report out. And I've been on the flip side where I was just with a data science group and, you know, we kind of dumbly thought we should build a data warehouse, and we built one, and then nobody ever used it because they just were much more interested in, you know, pulling out files and running off with them and doing their data science work. So
yeah,
it really depends on the business. I there's a lot of, like, obviously, again, with all the marketing and all of the hype that goes around some of these things, like, people like, oh, you got to have this full massive suite of platform of tools and things. And you kind of have to ask yourself, is anybody going to use them? Because it's a lot of work, and frustrating when you build something and nobody uses it.
Yeah, so. For sure. I think sometimes it's dictated to between, you know, on one spectrum, you know, the one side of the spectrum is data lakehouse and the other side is data warehouse, about how strong of a data analyst team do you have? How big of a presence do they command in their role in the organization? They often thrive on having access. Just give me the access to the data, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll take it from there, and I'll be the ones that will build out these one-off things for the people in the corner offices, or it all depends. Yeah, I've definitely seen that, you know, like maybe like in a Tableau heavy environment where they're bringing things in and storing it off into the Tableau server and doing things like that. And like you mentioned, sometimes it's heavily data warehouse focused on, mm-hmm. on some things where they want it all there. They want it all modeled out, et cetera. Yeah, absolutely. And
it could come down to your, you know, even your reporting then could split into, like, do you, like you said, do you have sort of a core analyst team that really knows the data and doesn't need a lot of help? Or is it more of a self-service where you've got, you know, people in the corner offices or want to be able to go get their own data? And then that could require a much more developed warehouse because they need to be able to go in and find the things. They're not data experts. So it really depends on your organization and what their needs are.
Yeah. They need that guided path for sure. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. One of the things that with the data lakehouse approach, maybe getting a little more into trade-offs of these three. The data lakehouse, they certainly promise, they say, okay, you love these things about the data lakehouse. You like the fact that it's easy to get going. You can dump all this data. It's very easy to store. But, boy, you probably really miss databases. So here's a layer on top of that. Here's Delta Lake. Here's Hootie. Here's Iceberg, perhaps, that kind of bring some of that familiar, nice DB style things that you're used to in terms of ACID compliance and being able to enforce schema or even involve, you know, evolve schema, things like that. How do you have any opinions? Like, how close is that to reality? Is it amazing that tech that's being used in the lakehouse world, or is it got a ways to go? Yeah. Where's the reality sit there?
I think it has a ways to go. I think the same thing kind of goes with a lot of ETL stuff. You know, they promise the world, and then when you get in there, it's still a lot of the same old ETL work that we've been doing for a long time. So I think it kind of goes the same way with the lakehouse. Like, there's always the promise that you can just throw your data in and it'll be ready to go. But I think there's still a lot of effort in, you know, modeling it, renaming it, data types, all that sort of work that goes into building out a data warehouse, and alternatively, all the partitioning, you know, planning out your structure of how do you store all this massive data in the data lake? Like, it's not as easy as just throwing it in. You need to have really good organization around, you know, where files go, how they relate. You know, are you partitioning by date? Are you partitioning by system? Are you partitioning by product? You know, you just have to put all that thought into it, all of this architecture work that goes in. It's not as easy as just opening the tool and, you know, pointing a billion files at it and throwing them in.
That's a great point, Eric, about that. You really have to lay out your data properly, you know, really about your access patterns, right? And so if you to take advantage of partitioning, and you have to have it organized in such a way, I think even some of the indexing that some like Delta Lake and maybe some others have come out with, I mean, you could have this to the T and you still may have poor performance, right? Or
that
somebody's used to working with a data warehouse is like, you know, what the heck is this? This is slow. I'm waiting forever for these queries to return. I don't care how much we're saving. You know, I'm dying here, that type of a thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it was I was talking to somebody the other day about they were using pretty much just Databricks versus Synapse versus to hit a data lake versus going to a data warehouse. I think also I'm going to assume through Synapse. And they were just comparing the time differences and how long things took and, you know, what seemed like a long time on one system compared to another. And it was kind of interesting. Kind of want to go back through and do some testing and do some comparisons and see how long, if we want the same piece of data, how long does it take through the three different routes we can go to get it, and just kind of see the pros and cons and try to figure out why does it take so long going one way and how do we improve it? Maybe getting some benchmarks, because yeah. I don't think there's a lot of that. I think everybody promises fast speed and they'll find numbers that make their speed look good, but it's uncommon to find like the same data set that you can try to get multiple different ways and actually have a good comparison.
It's yeah, like
sometimes,
for sure.
Like you said, it just takes a long time. If you're trying to get millions and millions of rows and, you know, it's poorly organized or it's organized in a certain way that just is against what you're trying to do, it might just take a while.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I guess that's one of the data warehouse environment being as rigid as it is. That's sometimes people see that as a downside, but that can be a good thing too, in terms of kind of forcing you to be more organized, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the trade-off, is you're going to spend a lot more time up front to organize your data and model it, but you should at least have consistent performance. Whereas data lake, you're going to have a lot less upfront time, but you're going to spend a lot more time downstream and, you know, you pull the data into Jupyter Notebooks or something, and now you've got to figure out the performance there.
So yeah, for sure.
You're just sort of pushing where the work takes place. And like you said, it kind of depends on, you know, what team are you? Are you more of a SQL person? Do you want to do things in Python? And that's kind of what I guess the Lakehouse is trying to solve, is you kind of have these two groups of analysts that want to take a very different approach. So how do you make a single platform that accommodates both of them? And they're getting close. There's some really cool things, but I don't know that it's there yet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of my perspective as well. I want it to be true, you know.
Yeah,
I want these things to be farther along than perhaps what they really are.
Like language agnostic, you just open up a notebook and type some code, and you get what you want, and it doesn't matter what language you use. And there's a lot of promises of things like that, polyglot notebooks, and you know, agnostic databases and things like that. But
yeah. That's a good keynote. Maybe in a few years. Material.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. How does data governance impact the choice or form what you use and what you don't use?
Yeah, in the companies I've worked at with heavy governance, you almost always lean towards a data warehouse focus, because you want to make sure the data's, you can have an engineering team go in, scrub the data, clean the data, and put them into schemas like the traditional way, secure those to make sure users only have access to what they should be able to see, that they're seeing is the agreed upon definition by the organization. Whereas if you're going to focus on the data lake side, you have a lot more of the raw data, which I mean, I guess depending on your system, if you have really good transactional systems you're pulling from, you could maybe do all that work up front, but that's never happened in my experience. So,
yeah.
So if you're doing it that way and you're just giving access to a data lake, you know, how do you control, like what happens if you have files coming out of an HR system that includes payroll information along with org structure information? Well, the org chart should be, you know, accessible to everybody, payroll, maybe not. So how do you control that as well in a data lake? It's very easy to do in a data warehouse. You just split that data out into whatever, you know, facts and dimensions, data marts that you could then push to the proper teams. But in a data lake, you have to put a lot more thought around that. And then in a data lake house, you're adding more structure, right? So then now you have to have two, I guess it kind of depends. You could have two different, if you have a data lake and a data warehouse, you would have two separate security structures, or I guess governance, and yeah, kind of overlaps in my mind. in a lake house, you might have one system, but you'd have to have a lot more controls over, you know, well, you can access this, and we want you to be able to access payroll information, or we want you to access org chart information, but not payroll information. We have to, it's easy to do in a warehouse, but we also have to make sure that we follow the data lineage back to its source and make sure you have all the right accesses along the way in the process. So across the platform. So that's a lot of work to do.
Yeah, no kidding. And probably not a lot of tools that help you manage that stuff from beginning to end, meaning from a data lake or staging area all the way into the data warehouse, you know?
Yeah. Then you're going to start looking into your add-on tools, like observability tools and things like that. And your platform bloats very quickly.
Yeah. I like the concept of, you know, bronze, silver, gold approach, but that certainly kind of occurred or reminded me of when we're describing this, having a data lake out or data lake house and in the data warehouse. But yeah, that's a tall order when it comes to governance for sure. Wow. Yeah. What kind of questions, when you're sitting down with an organization or perhaps a department and they're like, hey, we want to use our data. We want reports. We're going to do analytics. We're going to do this. What kind of questions are you asking these folks and to help formulate the, like, hey, yeah, we're going to have a lake house and maybe a data warehouse for certain things, or it's going to be strictly a data lake. Like, yeah, what kind of things are you asking these folks?
I'll immediately try to pivot away from the tools and the technology and figure out their usage. Because, you know, somebody goes to a conference somewhere, they hear about a lake house, they come back and they go like, we need a lake house. Like, I heard this is the thing now. So trying to get away from that, because the marketing is good and we all get hyped about like the cool new tech. So it's trying to like repivot off that and see like, what are we really trying to accomplish? What are our goals? Who's actually going to be using this? Like sometimes it's the CEO comes back and says like, you know, we need this. And it's like,
there needs to be like a 30-day waiting period for any tech choices after conferences. Major, if anybody in the C-suite goes to a conference, all right, let's cool off. Let's wait 30 days.
Not just C-suite. It could go the other direction because it could be the CEO coming back and saying, you know, we need this. And then you talk to the teams and they're like, what on earth are we going to do with that? Like we don't even have like one place. It's like, you know, we need predictive analytics and all this stuff. And you talk to the teams and like, we don't even know. We don't have like reports, basic reports for like what is going on. Like, what are we going to be predicting? We don't even know what's happening now. but of course, you know, the C-suite is like,
we'll never know though. No one can find this or hold us accountable.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's the best data science. You don't know if your model's right or not.
I don't know. Just assume your reports or you don't have reports. That's okay.
But it could go the other way where you get your team goes out to a conference and they come back all like, energized for this cool new stuff. And it's like, oh yeah, it's not in the budget.
No, that's very true. I tend to poke fun at it, maybe more on the business side of things, but me and the more on the tech side, I definitely have a weakness for the shiny objects for sure.
For sure. Yeah, definitely. And that could be a problem with, you know, team comes up and says, you know, we want to do machine learning. And the team's like, absolutely, let's go do it. It sounds great. We've been waiting all year for you to ask this. But, you know, when you get down to it, is that really what they need? Or are they just asking a question that could be answered through things you already have available? So I think that's always the important thing to me is like, take a step back from the technology, discuss the needs, discuss the purposes, discuss who's going to be using it and their comfort level. Like, you know, if you don't want to build a data lake for a team that is SQL focused or, you know, Tableau, Power BI focused, they're probably going to be more interested in, you know, a traditional modeled warehouse. But if you have a team of people who just, you also don't want the whole thing of like you build a fancy report and they just say, okay, now how do I export to a CSV so I can, you know, ingest it into Python? And it's like, well, I just spent all this time making this very pretty report that people don't want. So that's really, I guess, the important thing is what do they really need?
Yeah. Start with the need and work towards the other, see what the solutions will fulfill those needs. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And then from there, you get into things like, okay, well, you know, you want everything and you're ready for everything, but is it in the budget yet? So then you have to get into cost expectations of these things. Cause especially, cloud platforms, you click a button, it's ready to go. And then, 6 months later you get the bill and you're like, and everyone says surprised face, oh, nobody said it would cost so much. It's like, oh yeah, these things aren't cheap. So, So then, budgeting, okay, well, do you really need all these things? Like I said, you could get into observability and all these other tools that add on, which are great. If you can build out that whole platform, it's really cool. But most places I've worked for don't need or aren't ready for that much technology yet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point about, I think that the cost of these solutions can be quite high. I mean, I'll pick on data warehousing for a second. I mean, the cost to not only operate a data warehouse, but to implement a data warehouse. You can spend a lot of time on the ETL, the modeling, just trying to get that, never mind getting the consensus to what to build, right? That can be quite an expensive venture. So it's definitely one of those things that people should understand, that buckle up and get prepared for.
Yep. Yeah. And you have, upfront costs of starting up a Spark pool is going to be expensive. But you also have hidden costs, cost of the team, the cost of having a ton of people in a data governance meeting that are, high level decision makers that get paid a lot of money to sit in a meeting and argue about, do we call it, the sales metric or the over sales metric, some random terminology that has to be decided. And you sit in a meeting for an hour and you're like, wow, we just spent a lot of money on this decision.
Yeah. And the rate of building out solutions is not great, to be honest. Rate of success, I should
success,
say.
Yeah. I've built a lot that I have both come in to rebuild something that had already been built. And I've also built things that I'm pretty sure went nowhere. So, it's hard to do. And I don't think people realize that. And I think, that's one of the risks of these tools like Data Lakehouse is it's one-stop shop. Just set it up, throw your data in, and you've got it. And it's I'm sure there's a lot more work there.
Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, two null query video related things. Listeners, check out Eric's video on requirements gathering. He has one out there. I'll put a link in the show notes for it. I think it's quite good. And
that's one of those videos where I feel like it's a super important topic.
Oh. Yeah, it's very well done. Yeah, it obviously ties into some of this conversation we've been having, especially in the last 5 or 10 minutes. And then the other thing that I remember seeing about lake houses is it's unproven, right? I mean, time will tell.
Yeah. I think they're getting there. There's definitely Databricks and Snowflake are doing a great job. They're kind of driving the innovation. The other companies are going to follow a lot. They're going to see what works and take what works and what doesn't. So I think it's getting there, but I think it could go a lot of directions. Like I said, there's the lake data, the way Databricks works and the way Snowflake works is very different. And so who's kind of going to win out there? Maybe there won't be a winner. Maybe it'll just be both two good tool options for two different user bases. But I'm sure in 5 years we'll have a new term, and it'll be they have next evolution of wherever the lake house goes, and then we can kind of look back, kind of like we do with data lakes and data warehouses, and kind of see how it's progressing, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of jumped the gun a little bit on the whole the future topic, but yeah, you just touched on some. Yeah, what will that mix look like, right? And what will we think of data lake houses, like you said, in 5 to 10 years? You can look into your crystal ball, Eric. What do you think? What do you think between those three? Like, what in 5 years it'll be like? Oh no, duh! This this is what it'll be.
I think the concept of the lake house will win out just because it gives you more things. I think there will still be some growth on how do we accomplish that without having giant engineering teams to implement it. And how do we handle the expertise to do a data lake and a data warehouse, and what other, all the other steps you want, like, you know, data lineage, data governance, observability, ETL, reverse ETL, you know, you're going to still need all of those pieces in there. And that's a lot, for smaller companies or for less mature companies. So I think technology wise, it'll still need to grow a lot to be, you know, to escape the tech company level of usage, or the analytics focused companies. You know, I worked at a lot of banks in my early career, and they're very slow, technologically to catch up. So, you know, when will they be on a lake house? You know, who knows? So
does it come on a mainframe?
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
But like, if you look at, you know, kind of the early data lakes, you know, Hadoop based, I avoided that whole thing in my career because it seemed very overwhelming. On-premise data lakes were very, very hard. Well, I mean, people who did it probably don't think it was that hard. But to me, I think, man, setting up an entire Hadoop infrastructure on-premise is a lot of work. Like, and a lot of companies didn't do it. And I think a lot of companies don't do it now because cloud solutions have sort of eased that pain. So, you know, in 5 years, where will the cloud be in easing, you know, the difficulty of ETL, of easing the difficulty of, you know, managing a data lake and a data warehouse, merging these things together. And I think there's a lot of variety. Like I said, you know, Databricks, Snowflake are different. The way Google's taking BigQuery, Big Lake, whatever I think their new sort of version of the lake house is compared to the way Synapse is doing it is probably closest to Databricks. I think they're copying.
They're heavily aligned with Databricks too.
Yeah, like, they're strategic partners. So I think Synapse and Databricks are very aligned. So it's kind of interesting to see the different ways people are trying to go. So I would say I don't know where it'll end up in my crystal ball, but I think it'll go that direction. I think people will see the value of having a two-pronged approach, the data lake, data warehouse. And then I think a lot of it is sort of just the interconnecting between them of how do we track our data lineage. I think a lot of these sort of third-party tools, the observability, the orchestrators, the data lineage, data governance tools, those are kind of going to be the key piece that I think are going to probably become they're probably going to be the next Snowflakes and Databricks of the, you know, especially with like probably a lot of innovation coming out of the tech culture in the coming years. With the way things are trending. So I think there's going to be a lot of startups around that sort of focus. And then once those tools are out there, how are they going to then be integrated into this sort of grand scheme of data?
Yeah. No, that's some good thoughts there. Yeah, it's going to be real interesting to see, that's for sure. Yeah. Well, hey, thanks, Eric. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing some of your thoughts around this space. Data lakes and data lake houses and data warehouses. So yeah, so we covered quite a bit of ground in the last few minutes. So I really appreciate it. Folks and listeners and viewers, please rate, review, and subscribe. And check the show notes for some of those things I mentioned. And thanks for tuning in.